This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. For an amazing selection of Star Wars memorabilia, collectibles, and much more, head over to starwarsreport.com/toys. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. This is episode 130. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've decided to join us. I'm very excited. It's happening, folks. As we record this on the fifth month of the year of our lore, 2014, just on the 16th, 2 days ago, Star Wars Episode 7 starts filming. It's an incredible time to be a Star Wars fan, and I could not be more excited for tonight's episode. Joining me, as she so often has in the past and continues to do so, I'd like to welcome
to
the program.
Hey, everybody.
This is getting old.
Yes. Yes.
It's Bethany Blanton. Welcome to the show, Bethany.
I must confess, I did that solely to irritate you.
Yeah.
See, in the past, I've just been really excited about it, and I've been, you know, we've been in the pre-show talking, and I have all these thoughts running through my mind, and I want to jump right in and start talking. And then
it's all right. We've got plenty of time. We've got a great evening in front of us. Some a light news week, but a heavy news week. It's what I call deep and narrow. It's not deep and wide. It's deep and narrow. Deep and wide. Hey, and also joining us is defender of the legendary. Person formerly known as Expanded Universe. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. How are you?
Okay, Bethany too.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm gonna nickname you what I want.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, it's doing good over here. It is, you know, I have moments where when we're doing Star Wars Beyond the Films where I'm like, and I'm the champion of the we're now something else.
No,
huh?
That's gotta be sad, yeah.
And that's why I've adopted now the new additional moniker, you know, the Defender of the U, Champion of the Multiverse, and all-around Star Wars bipolar fan.
There you go.
I am all over the place anymore. I mean, it's so hard to be a Star Wars fan and be a fan of everything anymore.
It's a time. Oh, the times are changing. As a wise man once said, the times are a changing. Thank you, Bob Dylan. You know, Bob Dylan, Sci-Fi Connection. BSG for you guys who are into that sort of thing. Well, you guys, you're rip-roaring on the old Rebels Roundtable, aren't you? I want to mention that
this
right at the outset of the show.
This is true. You know, I finally had a chance to sit down. We, you know, did a couple arcs and stuff. They did some before I was onto the show, you know, wrapping up for Republic Forces Network. And, you know, it's very interesting. You know, we've done episodes where we have a lot of people on there, but that's a common thing for them is usually like 3+. And that one, all of us were there. And it was really fun. I must say, I wasn't sure, you know, how the chemistry was going to work out, but we're all sitting down before the show and talking, and it was just, everybody's kind of worried, like, oh, wait, we're all on the same wavelength here. Like, this might be bad, you know? And yet me and Barrett are kind of like, well, at the same time, like, you know, we can see the other side of things. So it was kind of like a lot of devil's advocate being played, and yet a lot of fun all the way around. I can't wait to get into that show. Another Rebels little tidbit, though. I managed to get the patches sewn onto my son and mine's Boy Scout uniforms. They're now the Rebel Patrol Buckets and Bones Brigades. Mm-hmm. They got the old Stormtrooper helmet with the bones behind it. Nice. Oh, dude, it looks so cool on the uniforms.
Oh, I saw that. That was. And by the way, I saw the pictures of the patches, but I just want to say two things. One, that's a great picture of you and your son. I think there's a real, you can see the resemblance, especially in that photo. And the second one is, you thought I'd roll right over it, but I ain't doing it. We may have already said it in the pre-show, but happy birthday to you. It's Mr. Mark's birthday. That's awesome.
Yes.
Happy 35.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a really fun day. We went and saw Amazing Spider-Man 2. It was my second time with the wife. It was her first time and stuff. And took my dad and my nephew with us and my oldest two kids. And, man, I'm really, really, really enjoying that show. Seeing it the second time, there were so many things I'd missed, especially music cues. You know, we were talking about it before the show. When Electro was doing his thing, you could hear the liar, Spider-Man. You know, oh, man, it just got me so amped. I'm just like, I love a good movie. And this time we saw it in 3D. I watched it the first time in 2D, but it just gets me so amped for 2015. I can't wait. I am going to watch the heck out of that movie. To the nine hells and back, I'm going to watch it so many times. I got to have like $150 like saved up because I think I want to be there every day for the first week because just watching the Spider-Man movie gets me going. My daughter was like, but Dad, you're a Star Wars fan. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to understand, honey, I was a Spider-Man fan first. And for me, like as much as I love Star Wars, there is a spot in my heart that is just in love with the concept of, you know, with great power comes great responsibility and everything that Parker as Spider-Man personifies. In that movie, the way they play with the character and the jovial humor he plays all the way through the first half, oh gosh, man, it just had me just pumping. I was loving it, and I can't wait to have something like that again with Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh man, I mean, yeah. It's already been a great summer for movies. We had Captain America, which was amazing. We had Spider-Man mm-hmm. 2, which was amazing. Beth and I just went and saw Godzilla this past summer. So it's a big summer for movies.
See, we saw a preview for that, and I was kind of like, well, you know, I really want to see Amazing Spider-Man 2 a second time. And so we went and did that instead of Godzilla. But that preview made it look so good. I was like, oh man, what is this? And then you saw the back and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And I love the nuclear angle they're playing. Plus, you've got X-Men Days of Future Past. The preview for that they played looked awesome. Guardians of the Galaxy, my eldest daughter, she's like, yeah, I want to go see that. I'm like, sweet. You know, because she's kind of like hit or miss when it comes to these kind of movies. She didn't want to go see Amazing Spider-Man the first time, but she went this time because, you know, her mom went. So she was like, I'll go this time. And she liked it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll hold that geek title onto you yet. I mean, she likes geeky things, but she also knows that she's got to have a social life. So she's like, she's like me at that age. Where she's like,
plays it
cool. I don't want to commit to this because I don't want to be socially inept for the rest of my life.
I don't
Not
know.
That sometimes would be, but the level that I take it.
Well, and I think sometimes there is a level of playing it cool, you know, that you have to do sometimes.
True.
Still.
And you got to know your audience too. I think cool party and be like, yeah, guys, Star Wars, let's go play with our lightsabers in the front yard. You're gonna get one guy, maybe, that's like, yeah, dude, you got a force effect. Let's do this.
It's a trap. Am I right? Am I right?
Party
in the house, fanboys, where they had the laser set up front. He's like, oh, sweet phaser. No, that's just to tell the Trekkies from the Star Wars fans, get out of my store.
It's a trap. because like if you play, it's. I think in the age of the internet, it's sometimes easy to live in a fantasy world where you think to yourself, man, everyone must like Star Wars like me. And it's like, no, your group of friends that you've met through the internet do. And certainly you can come together and geek out at Star Wars Celebration. Now listen to your way. You know, you can come together and do that. Or you could come together at Dragon Con, and that's when you can really let your geek flag fly. But you know, there is still an element of social structure and order that kind of requires you to play it cool on occasion. I'm certainly not going to...
Well, what you're saying is to be idealistic and say that, you know, I can always show
I just
my...
Want to be who I am.
No, well...
You just have to love me for me. Darn it. No, I see what you're saying, though.
Well, and that is the ideal and the perfect world, but unfortunately we don't live in a perfect world.
No.
So even though I would like...
I think
I got a question for you, Bethany, because this kind of gets to a fangirl side of things, because I almost want to say that the day and age we live in now, it's more socially acceptable for a girl to be a self-proclaimed fangirl than it is for a guy. When it comes from a guy, you know, you kind of have this stereotypical, oh, he's going to be 35 someday living in his mom's basement kind of thing. But when a girl does it, it's like, oh, she's going to be somebody's, you know, geek mom. You know, like there's going to be somebody out there that's going to be loving her because she's into all the things that most guys are into. I don't know. See, to me, it seems like society is kind of more embracive of the fangirls than they are the fanboys. And that could be from a lot of trollers out there that have kind of given fanboys a bad taste in social media's mouths. But I don't know. Am I wrong there?
It depends on if you're talking about society or within the fan community itself.
Yeah, and that's
because
a big difference.
There is a huge difference there. And I think that society might be more kind to the fangirl. But I think that the actual fan community is friendlier to the fan guy. And
I would also say
that the society sees that more as if you are a fan girl, in order to be looked upon as a good fangirl, and I do use that term pretty intentionally, you have to be a very specific kind of fangirl. You kind of have to like a certain category of things, and you have to be really cool about it, and you have to have a really awesome costume, and you have to make really artsy crafts, and you have to be fit, and you have to have a complete and total life outside of the fan community, and you have to have three other really cool hobbies, and it's frankly, it's a lot of pressure to be viewed as the kind of popular fangirl, whereas basically you're not a fangirl, that's just an aspect of yourself, but you have to be a perfectly well-rounded and beautiful person in order to be looked upon as a fangirl, and I'm getting slightly heated about this subject, as probably you guys can tell.
Well, all I know is I've been watching Teresa Delgado's tweets coming from Star Wars Weekend,
so
and
jealous.
I am just like, dude, these fangirls are having a heck of a time. I am so jealous. Like, I've seen her with pictures with all these other fangirls that I've met through, you know, mainly our show. You know, Savannah that does the Dorky Diva. Used to be the Panda's Lights Cameras. And, oh, man, she takes the best photographs I have seen in a long time. And always has a Clone Wars era helmet in her hands. And I've seen all these photos and stuff, and I'm just like, Teresa, like, you are, like, this is for a fan in general. You are in the golden age right now. I'm just so jealous of all the activity you're getting to do. Keep tweeting, girl. Keep tweeting.
Speaking of which, like, for the listeners to know, we've already kind of beat it to death, but this is the last podcast before we go to Star Wars Weekends. Bethany and I, we're jealous of her now, but we will be chasing her down in Orlando next weekend as we record this to do some stuff. So I'm hoping to do some recording. There will probably be something in the feeds, I imagine, next weekend for Star Wars Report listeners, but if otherwise, or at least maybe the week leading after it. But yeah, that's what we're going to be doing, heading out to Disney for the first. It'll be Bethany and my first time heading down that way. So we're looking forward to going there, meeting with Jimmy Mack from Rebel Force Radio. They're doing their big Rebel Force Radio meetup. Steve Glosson will be there. It's going to be a big party. I was talking to Steve Glosson, was doing his live streams that he's been doing recently. And I'll give a free plug because they're awesome. He on his Mixlr channel, trying to remember the exact Mixlr.com/Big Honkin' Show. He's doing a lot of the Geek Out Loud programming live on air there, and he's kind of giving me the bug to try to do live shows again. If only our internet was more reliable.
Yeah.
But he's on. Bethany and I each called in to one of the Big Honkin' Shows he was doing. And we were talking a little bit about the Star Wars Weekend stuff, because it still confuses me how the tickets work and what a fast pass is and what it gets you and how it works. Oh. And do you have to schedule your rides, or do you just get to wander around the park? You know, all these questions.
Fast
I was
pass.
Having.
Oh, dude, let me give you a story about the fast pass real fast. Our first trip down to Disneyland, we thought it was like a one-time thing. So we're like, we'll save the fast pass till our last day.
Okay.
Dude, never do that. You can use the fast pass the entire time. Like, literally, you can only use it at one ride at a time. You can't have like two fast passes at one point, like for 1-2 hours. Like, oh, we got to be at this ride and then we can go straight to that one. No, you got to ride that one ride, then go get another fast pass, then return at that time, and you get a cut the front of the line. But we thought it was something like, you know, you only get one day to use it. So we were like, well, we'll save it for the last day.
Yeah, because that's
dumbest
what it says
thing
on
I could have done.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Fast Pass says for me, is, or if you buy, say, two Disney, we still haven't completely decided, which is why we held off, but I think we're going to do two-day tickets, but not three-day, because three-day, it just got too expensive, and I think we can do pretty much, we can do a lot of everything in 2 days, and one day seemed like too short, since we're going to be down there for the day. So, I don't know, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. For sure.
Oh, I'm already jealous.
But
you gotta take a picture of an empty seat for me.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, no. Well, hey, it's less than a year. Star Wars Celebration 7.
You know, we need to have an album like that. You know, Star Wars Report Events Where Mark Is Absent.
Hey, well, we will solve this grievous issue that has come up in the recent years. But I'll tell you what, like, we were on We Talk Clones. Earlier today we were recording their episode for the second to last of the entire series as We Talk Clones, the Clone Wars podcast, wraps up. And I was thinking, I talked to them on the show, but I want to mention it here too. I was thinking to myself, this was 5.5 years ago when they started up. And I got on in the season one episode, so about 5 years ago. I remember I'd only done like one or two EU cast episodes at the time. And I had Yeah, I'd done one or two at UCast, and then I actually guested on We Talk Clones. Yeah. And that was like the third or fourth podcast episode I'd ever been a part of was actually part of We Talk Clones. So it kind of got me all nostalgic because so much has happened since then. I mean, I was thinking about that just today. Today's your birthday, Mark, and we've been podcast. Mark, you and I have podcasted now for 5.5 years.
It just boggles my mind all the time. And I love the fact, you know, that we've taken this journey together. I mean,
because
when I started working at Kodak, it was like that. Me and this one guy started, and we both, you know, went to different departments and stuff, and then ended up getting back in the same department and worked there together for all these years. It's like, dude, we started on the same day. and we started on the same application, that same week we heard that same episode. We both put it in. And I think I was episode 70, and you were, what, 71, 72 when you came on? And that was good times. I remember listening to that episode with bated breath, and then going,
episode...
"Oh man, I ain't gonna have a shot. This guy's got it."
is episode 72 something something Gamer Geeks? I can't remember exactly. Which I think
mine
is hilarious.
Was like, let the Wookiee win, or the Wookiee roars, or something with the Wookiee.
Well, because I don't play video games at all, which is what's funny. But if you go back, 5 years ago is a long time. Especially you're talking about somebody like me who's 22. 5 years is a long time, let me tell you. That is a ridiculously long time. So, man, I'll tell you what, it's amazing just how far we've come, for sure. Started from the top, then and kind of went to the bottom. Or started from the bottom, now we're at the top. How does that go?
One way or the other.
There we go. No, I'm leaning away from the microphone to make note of my time because it is time. It is that time, folks. I want to tell you about our sponsor for this episode. Hey, it's Big Bad Toy Store. Hey, they've always got a lot of fantastic sales on Star Wars collectibles, merchandise, memorabilia, and much more. But here's the way you want to get your hands. Get your grubby hands all over the great deals on Star Wars merch. You want to head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys. StarWarsReport.com/toys, and that is the way that you will be able to get some great discounts, and also they will know where you came from, and that way they'll be much more appreciative and continue to sponsor this fine podcast. We do appreciate them for their financial support of the Star Wars Report podcast. Once again, that's StarWarsReport.com/toys. All right, guys, it's about that time. Let's hop into the news. It's the news. I cannot wait to talk about today's news topics. Again, not a lot of news, not a lot of topics to go through, but man, was it a big milestone. I mentioned it at the outset of the show, but here it is. Star Wars Episode 7, Revenge of Jar Jar, has begun filming. Possibly in Iceland, but we'll get to that in a minute. No, it's begun filming, guys. Here we are.
You know, and I automatically get to that rumor side of me. It's like, well, didn't they say they were recording this back in April? I know the official announcement always said it was this date, which I'm glad we finally hit, but I don't know what to believe anymore.
Principal photography with J.J. Abrams. Yeah, because remember, Alan Horn a couple weeks ago leaked that he was in casual conversation with film students at some university. He's just like, oh, yeah, we're doing that, and we've already started filming in second unit stuff in Abu Dhabi. And the guy was like, wait, what? He's like, we're doing some second unit stuff, nothing big, but yeah, we're doing some second unit shooting in Abu Dhabi. And everybody's like, Abu Dhabi, that's really fun to say it three times. Yeah. Really fast, say it with me. Abu Dhabi.
I can't do it without putting an accent on it though.
Oh.
And I blame Pauly Shore from that one where they went into the military.
Exactly. No, so there it is. I mean, basically, it started shooting. I wasn't really sure how to discuss it because it's not really a whole lot to discuss other than, good heavens, we've come a long way. And I guess the official announcement didn't come from StarWars.com or anything. It was actually a tweet from the Bad Robot official account at Bad_Robot. And it's just #day1. And it's just a picture of the clapper. And they have...
with a little bit of sand.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of sand. And people are also noticing that And this is, but contrary to popular belief, I'm pretty sure this is in the England studio up at Pinewood Studios. But I did see some people pointing at the sand. Actually, Bleeding Cool did a, Slash Film did a breakdown of the actual numbers on it. But, like, there's not really a lot to learn other than the fact that, like, they're using an N6 filter, whatever that means, you know, or an ND6. And it basically brings... They're using probably an anamorphic lens, whatever that means, and they talk about like the technical stuff, but it doesn't really show you what it is, other than the fact that it's probably an interior from what Slash Film was saying. But again, really doesn't tell us anything, but it tells you, well, it does tell us something, how absolutely nerdy and desperate Star Wars fans are. That's what it tells us.
That's one way to look at it, but here's another way to look at it as well, which is life as a Star Wars fan with a movie filming is a lot different than life as a Star Wars fan when there were films in the future.
That's true.
And it's a very different and interesting experience because, yeah, there's a lot of debate surrounding the film, and there's a lot of excitement and nervousness, and there's, you know, sadness, wailing, and gnashing of teeth over the expanded universe, and some excitement, and, ooh, what are they going to bring in the future? And, you know, all the whole range, the entire spectrum of emotions about everything.
Yeah.
But I do want to point out, having the movie is a little like injecting a lifeblood into the fan community, because without it, there weren't as many emotions. I think there was less discussion, and I think that there were fewer fans, or in the future, there will be more fans, because I do think that having a new film come out, especially once it actually does come out, will really inject a new generation and just a whole new segment of people of all generations into the fan community, because their Star Wars will be Episode 7.
Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly.
We were talking about this the other day about kids, and, you know, as our kids get older, you know, what their Star Wars memories will be compared to, you know, ours. And I can't even begin to imagine what the differences are from me to my daughter Taylor, to my son Gavin, and then to Jaina, who's 10 years later. You know, I mean, her Star Wars is going to be even different than Gavin's. And I just can't even begin to fathom what that's going to be like. Because Jaina's probably going to grow up in a post-Rebels Star Wars. You know, I mean, I don't think she'll probably remember Rebels, but I don't think she's going to be of the age where she'll, you know, really remember it beyond Heroes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I love the transition and how you have that sense of longevity now, and how we just know, as sad as the announcement was, the Legends announcement really just kind of communicated to me that they understood what it would take to keep this franchise vital, and they were willing to make the hard calls to do it. And they're willing to make many fans upset at them, because many fans were, to do it. But yeah, I think it is that's probably the best thing.
Well,
and May 16th. Oh, sorry, Bethany.
Mark, are you caught up on The Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
So you watched the very latest episode?
No, I haven't been able to catch the latest. I usually catch them like a week to a month later.
No spoilers.
I don't mind a spoiler,
but I will say that there are a number of changes in that episode, in the lives of the characters. And at one point, Sheldon is absolutely furious and completely upset and practically breaks down because there is so much change and he can't handle it and he doesn't know what to do and things shouldn't change. So I was going to say, change is kind of scary. It can be exciting, but it's also kind of scary. And so I think right now we're seeing a little bit of a tumultuous time. I didn't pronounce that correctly. But a bit of an exciting, but also kind of a little bit maybe tentative time for Star Wars fans, because everything is changing and we don't have a lot of, we don't have a lot of information. And I do wish that Disney and that Abrams would be a little more forthcoming with the information, or at least a little more purposeful, even if they don't reveal much. But I think that we saw the fan community change with the announcement and with all of the announcements to follow, and I think we'll see it change again radically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, there's so many outlooks as to what came down and how it's been interpreted and things like that. I mean, you know, there's still people that will not believe that the Old Republic MMO is Legends. You know, I mean, they've gone out and said that that game is expanded universe. They put that out in an article. And to me, it's like, okay, so it's EU. Then we had the other article that said everything EU is Legends. Okay, that makes sense. But then there are other people that are like, oh, well, they killed everything that came before. And while they're not necessarily wrong, I just think it's a point of view thing. You know, I keep looking at it now. I'm looking at it less like, you know, they rebooted, you know, the EU. But I'm looking at it more as like they've set the EU free and they've rebooted Star Wars. You know, I mean, the films and stuff was always George's universe. But in this case, they've flat out said that we're rebooting. And from this point on, this is what counts. And we're going to move forward with that. Because they've told us before, you know, well, this counts. And then this counts. And as an EU fan, it was always like, okay, well, there were levels of officialness, you know. Well, now it's like everything that came before, it exists in its own universe. Whether or not they're going to add to it. But we know that the MMO is moving forward. So, you know, Legends is still getting new products. The question I have right now is what's going on with the Imperial Handbook? Because that's also set in Legends. You know, and they had talked about that. I tweeted Dan Wallace and Jennifer Hindle today about it. Because I'm curious, is that still going to go forward? Or are they going to just sweep that under the rug like they've done other books and projects that they talked about in the past? I mean, you know, there's that too. But I have a hard time looking at it as dead. I just see it as finally set free. I mean, and what I mean by that is, like, at the end of Fate of the Jedi and Legacy of the Force and stuff, we had the aspects from the Mortis trilogy come forward, you know, the Mortis monolith, Mother Father, that kind of stuff. And we could have left that out, and, you know, EU fans could have pretended that the Clone Wars didn't exist in that universe. The Clone Wars exists in both of these universes now. But moving forward, as changes happen with Rebels that are going to be purposely not part of that universe, that EU, that Legends universe, no longer has to go, oh, now we got to bring in this character, and we got to find a backstory, and oh, wait, it conflicts with this, so we're going to kick that story out. They don't have to do that anymore. If it doesn't fit, now they can just say, you know what, it was never meant to fit, and they can move forward. But I think, you know, for me, it gets back to that rally call to those people that love that universe. If you want to see that universe continue, keep letting them know. I mean, you know, we'll get to it in our feedback, but, you know, I keep saying, if you want to see the Sword of the Jedi, letting you know that there's interest there. I mean, you don't have to want one or the other. You can want both. And to me, it would be stupid on Disney's part to not accept cash for both.
Well, exactly. I mean, if there's money there, and I think that's what they realize. That's why they're still publishing Legends, you know, stories.
And I just totally sneezed my headphones.
I was going to point it out.
It could be worse. You could sneeze into your mask. Oh, spoiler alert.
The hay fever rises. Yeah.
But that's kind of what that photo represented to me was, and the sand especially, because we have a shifting landscape.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of Star Wars fans and in-universe characters, they just don't like sand. Sorry, what are you saying?
and don't like change, too. I don't mean that to be a criticism either, because I know that times when I've been a little, I start to clutch something. I start to figuratively clutch something close to my chest, and I'm like, mine. I don't want you to mess with this. I like it this way. How do I know that you're not going to mess it up? And that is a valid question, and I think that's why, especially in these days, directors, film directors, companies, actors, they need to keep in touch with the fan base, and I don't think that the Star Wars brand is doing that as well as they could right now, because
and I think I think they are getting better, but I think you're right.
Fine.
No, I wasn't trying to discount you. I think you're on the right track, but it's better, like getting the official little video message from J.J. Abrams on May the 4th. J.J. Abrams, Lawrence Kasdan, just that. That's a brilliant marketing idea, if nothing else, because they're communicating to the fans directly. It's not like it's not a press release from StarWars.com that is under the heading the StarWars.com team, you know, they're like some faceless entity. No, you actually see Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams, and they take their goofy little selfie video and say, hey, it's me, and we're working on the film, and happy May the 4th. Like, even just that, I'm happy. Happy camper. You just won Riley is what you did. Bad. No, I mean, we've had a great discussion. Like, we're only planning for about half an hour, but I feel like we have some good momentum and some listener questions and another news story. So if you guys want to power on,
sure thing.
Let's talk about this new Bleeding Cool article. It comes under the heading, it's by Brendan Connolly.
Brian Kellen O'Connor?
Brian Kellen O'Connor is from. This is a Bleeding Cool article. A Star Wars spy reports Chewbacca and stormtroopers in the snow. I feel like...
You mean on Hoth.
I feel
there,
like...
if we summarize the article.
Mark, you're not going to hear this. I'm just going to preface, but I feel like this is not... This story needs something, a little something. Here we go. All right. Yes, a Star Wars spy reports Chewbacca and stormtroopers in the snow.
Do you want to build a snowman?
And our Frozen reference is in for the day. Mark, you'll hear it in the post-show.
Oh, I heard it. No, it somehow made it across. It knew that deep down I wanted to hear some Frozen.
Because
I just can't let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
Well, it's like I never see you anymore, Mark. Come out the door. It's like you've gone away. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
You know, that is Jaina's favorite line. She will literally walk up to the door, or most famous, our DVD case looks like the door from that almost, and she'll walk up to it. Elsa, Ote Bud, and slide down. And I mean, that is just every time that comes on, that song, she comes running in on her little tiptoes. I'm just like, oh, you are too cute.
So adorable.
Exactly. She's all like,
so adorable.
Do you want to build a snowman?
Yes, exactly. All right. Yes, we do. We want to build a snow... Do you want to build a snow trooper is what we want to build. No, this is from Brendan Connolly. He basically is reporting on a guy who posted on his Facebook post that he knows a guy in the second unit who saw stormtroopers and Chewbacca in Iceland filming second unit stuff. So it's not exactly... we talked about this in the pre-show, and we'll get into the more details. I haven't had time to really thoroughly go through the news story. But other than essentially that's what they're stating. Chewbacca, Hoth, stormtroopers. Here's the thing. It seems kind of sketchy when it's like... Here's what's happening. A listener is hearing this from a fan podcast who's reporting on a news story from a fan site, Brendan Connolly, who saw a Facebook post from a guy who says he knows somebody in the second unit who saw Chewbacca. So I was laughing because it's such a long reach for a rumor. And granted, we had earlier, we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but earlier this month and previously, there were rumors about location scouting and second unit filming going on in Iceland. In fact, there was like a helicopter crash going on that evidently was rumored to be part of the production, which is terribly tragic. But it's terribly long, but at least it's specific. It's not like some Variety article, which by the way, I love Variety. I love like the mainstream Hollywood Reporter because usually they're right because they have good sources, but God love them, they never say who they are. So it's just like somebody close to the project says, like, come on, at least we know if Bleeding Cool is being hoodwinked or if they're lying to us, we know exactly who and why. We know exactly what the guy's saying, that it's a guy on second unit who talked to a guy who posted on Facebook who then was reported on the fan site, then told you by a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I always question, though, is why does everybody seem to think Iceland is a match for Norway and Hoth when wouldn't it be Greenland that's the one that's actually more icy?
Yes,
that's
true.
Always had me kind of scratching my head. Like, it seems like society has forgotten which one is which.
Yeah. Well, let me read this part of the article real quick because that might clear it up a little bit. I see, and you're right, because I'm making the terrible podcasting mistake of actually reading the article instead of talking about the article. But you're right, Mark. The only connection that I see here, and I want to say I'm thinking there was an actual connection, like they saw them in a mountainous, snowy area or something like that. But they don't say that anywhere. It's essentially just, well, Iceland's kind of like icy, right? Because it's called Iceland, so it must be Hoth.
And I will point out, I just Googled for the weather in Iceland for today.
Okay.
In the capital.
Oh, see, this is why you should be an investigative Hollywood reporter, Bethany.
Well, in the capital, it is currently noon.
Okay.
And the high is 39. So.
Celsius or Fahrenheit? Is that Fahrenheit, I assume? Probably Fahrenheit. All right. Well, so it's cold enough.
I mean, it's midday.
Yeah, Reykjavik, Iceland.
It's pretty cold in the capital. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
we could always find out that Hoth has been defrosting.
Oh, yeah, midnight. Excuse me.
But no, yeah. It's no, midnight. I see what you're saying. Well, and it's calling for rain Thursday, high of 54. So there you guys have it. The weather in Iceland. News, traffic, and weather after the 9. This is the Star Wars Report Podcast.
How was it happening?
AM 750 and 95.5 FM, News Talk, WSB.
What's curious, too, about this, though, is there was also, yesterday I was seeing, I didn't read too much on it, but there were reports going around that someone is trying to kind of snag all the contracts for Wookiees and Stormtroopers, and that there's, like, this whole little thing going on with that, and people are worried that it may delay the filming, but... Kind of interesting. That one kind of lines up with this, you know, Wookiees and Stormtroopers. Oh, okay, and maybe there's some legitimacy there. And that's, I think that for me is the hardest part going into this world of we're going to have Star Wars movies coming out every single year, so there's always going to be something going on, something being leaked, and there'll be so much fans just speculating, and the speculations becoming rumors, and then those rumors becoming news, and then that news being, well, that was long ago news. And it's like, wait, that was just... a rumor. You know, there's so many things going around right now that people are acting and treating like this is fact. And it just boggles my mind. You know, I that part of looking at future can get a little overwhelming at times. I'm like, man, this is going to go on for how long?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not just that aspect, but, you know, as a fan who also reports on Star Wars news and creates content about Star Wars, it's an interesting feeling to feel like all of a sudden I don't feel caught up. I don't really feel like I know what's going on. Yeah. So it's much harder as a podcaster or if you approach this like a journalist, it's a little harder because, oh, this is really exciting and, you know, there's all this new stuff coming out, but
it's almost like a kingdom of isolation.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. No,
I think we need to all make an agreement. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us, anytime we ever guest on anybody else's podcast, I don't care if it's Geek Out Loud or if it's Mark You going on any of the other shows on the network, we just have to work in, as subtly as possible, Frozen lyrics. Just into the thing. So it's just going to be us saying, no. But at least it's kind of like I'm the queen. The wind is howling. You know, it's like the wind is howling. Like a storm inside of me. Okay, sorry, you were saying that.
Like that moment when you find out reindeer are better than people.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I right? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I mentioned earlier that Star Wars is more like a shifting landscape right now. And that does seem to be the case as a podcaster because, you know, I can predict, I can talk about the news that's coming out, but I don't really know for sure what Star Wars is going to look like in a year.
Yeah.
I really have no idea.
Well, at least by that time we'll have seen the trailer.
True.
Probably at Star Wars Celebration 7. So there you go. I mean, that's kind of it for the news.
They better give us a good trailer, by the way.
We want to move on to our to our next segment. I sent out a tweet and a Facebook post this afternoon, which I want to do on occasion. I wanted to mention before we jump into our next segment that you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report, or go to facebook.com/Star Wars Report. We will be asking you guys for questions and incorporating them into the show more often. But that's it. It's time for feedback, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by StarWarsReport.com/episodes. The 2nd Airborne Division Star Wars Report brings you great episode coverage of the likes of our Dragon Con, our interviews, our celebration, our commentaries, and more. Again, that's StarWarsReport.com/episodes.
All right, this first bit of feedback comes in a form of a tweet from @JediNews2010, a.k.a. Mark Newbold of Jedi News. How's it going, Mark? Whatever happened to the TIE pilot who checks in the asteroid field in Empire? Could he be the villain in Star Wars Episode 7? Say it ain't so, Lovey.
And they're going to name him Coral. But he won't be related to the other Coral from Legends. Just a similar origin story.
Oh, Mark,
I was launched out of my TIE fighter!
Exactly. Well, we need to get Mark back on the show. Man, that was fun. Good.
Or that it was actually female TIE pilot.
An answer.
Who finds a race of aliens.
Yeah, who says
aliens.
It's a he? Well, he didn't say he. I thought.
No, he said he. Could he be the... What if it's a female TIE fighter pilot, and she finds a race of unknown aliens in the asteroid field and marries one of them, and her son becomes the ruler
becomes
of the universe.
Adam Driver, who plays the villain in Star Wars Episode 7. It all makes sense. It all makes sense. Hey, Mike, @_visions, asks us, what if Darth Plagueis really did master immortality and returns in episode 7. I'm sensing a theme in these questions, by the way. Darth Plagueis, the evil emperor replacement in Star Wars episode 7. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, you know, that just gets my brain going in a lot of ways, though, because, I mean, you know, the other side of that, too, is, well, do we know if, you know, Palpatine ever learned the trick come Return of the Jedi? I mean, maybe he already learned it, and he knew a way to get out of that little throwdown. Maybe when we saw the lightning come up the shaft, that was Palpatine. But the fact that it could be, you know, Darth Plagueis now being the threat, I like that even more, because Plagueis was already thinking a lot of things through. It was just me going, you know, do we have the same Plagueis that we had in the novelization Darth Plagueis? Was he still alive during episode 1? Like Lucas supposedly said he wanted it to be? Oh, there's a whole new universe out there thanks to that reboot. I can't wait to learn about it.
There's one hesitation I have
about
this.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think,
Bethany? Which is, I cannot picture Darth Plagueis as a movie character. Not because of him
because
being an alien. No, okay. Not that at all. His character.
His weird name.
So no, dry. Not. Like, there's very little. He's incredibly smart.
Who, Darth Plagueis?
Yeah.
Nobody even knows who Darth Plagueis is. I mean, the Expanded Universe fans who read
the
book.
He was the wise.
They would have to.
I mean, yes, it's a great. I'm saying, like, as far as mainstream moviegoers, is all they know is that in his sleep, he killed him. there's my Ian McDermott impression. That's all they know.
It's that character, while the Darth Plagueis novel is a really interesting one and a very enjoyable one, I just I cannot see that personality type being the villain of a movie.
I think if they did Darth Plagueis as a villain, which I wouldn't actually put past them, because they are actually being pretty respectful of the prequel era, I think, by leaving the Clone Wars and prequel films inside. Because I've heard, of course, we've all heard it. We've heard the jokes like, man, I wish they'd leave the sucky prequels and throw that out of the canon as well. Like, all right, fine, be that way. I won't take it personally and mention it on my podcast at all. Won't happen. I'll just move past it. We'll all be fine. We're all fine here. No, what was I saying? No, but like for Darth Plagueis, if they did it, I will say this, it's more likely than the TIE fighter pilot in Empire becoming the villain. But
came up on the Facebook page.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Christopher writes, okay, do Marvel takes over the Star Wars comic license in January 15. So will Dark Horse be able to sell digital copies of Dark Horse comics they produced from 95 through 15, or will Marvel have to buy the rights for what Dark Horse produced to keep it in circulation? And I can answer that right now. Your last part of the question is correct. If they want to continue to sell any ebooks, any of the digital stuff going forward, Marvel will have to buy each image from Dark Horse to do that. And same with if they want to put any of those in reprint. As far as after 2015, you're not going to be able to buy anything new unless, like, you go down to your comic book store, and your comic book store, the owner himself bought them before that year. Then they can have them and sell them whenever, but the distributors will not be able to sell them to the comic book stores after 2015. And so your ebooks and stuff, you're not going to be able to access those unless they buy the digital rights, which, you know, on Star Wars Beyond films, we've talked about, you know, there's some of the series they could have done, like maybe, you know, the Brian Woods comic where it wouldn't have been so far-fetched, but there are so many other comics and stuff that I have a hard time thinking they're going to do it. Maybe down the road, maybe once they start getting some revenue from the films and stuff, and that helps, you know, provide back that $4.4 billion. But until then, I don't think so. I wouldn't be holding my breath. Yeah. I would, though, be going out and scanning some comic book stores, trying to find what you can.
Well, it's interesting. What was the box office of Revenge of the Sith? Revenge of the Sith. Box office. Sorry, I'm going to do a little bit of Googling right now, because I think it goes right to your point. You said, was that from Christopher on Facebook? I believe.
Yes, it was.
All right, excellent. Revenge of the Sith box office, and then I'm going to go Iron Man box office. And I'm going to prove my point here. I have an interesting point, but I don't want to make an idiot of myself. So episode 3, the domestic gross. I'm going to talk, well, let's do worldwide. I think that's better. It looks like they only have domestic. No, here we go. The worldwide gross of Revenge of the Sith was $848 million. Most recently, let's just use Iron Man 3 as an example, because Episode 3, Iron Man 3, It's a good box office comparison. So I'm loading up Iron Man 3 on Box Office Mojo, and as the page loads, I'm seeing the circular sign on Google Chrome, and that's what I'm seeing right now. So I'm trying to. Come on. Oh, is it loading? There we go. Worldwide box office of Iron Man 3. 1.2 billion. So you got 848,000, 1.2 billion. So you've got about a 400,000 give or take plus for Iron Man 3. Essentially, financially, current Marvel films are doing better than previous Star Wars films. That's hard
to. But also, hasn't there been advances in your 3D films and stuff like that? So you've got more 3D theaters out there and stuff Iron Man had more of that, which cost more money to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there are little things like that that are probably going to skew the numbers, but I don't think it's going to be too much.
Well, so what I'm saying is that there's not a terrible, but a substantial difference in box office revenue. A $400,000 revenue is certainly nothing to sneeze at as far as the difference. But the reason I say is I want to say this. They said the budget has been released. It's going to be $175 to $200 million for the new Star Wars film, which sounds like a lot of money. But to give you an example, Iron Man 3 was the production budget was $200 million. So they're giving the new Star Wars film, when there hasn't been a film out for 10 years, they're giving the new Star Wars film the same budget as Iron Man 3, a established franchise that we know is going to be successful. We know Iron Man 3 is going to make a lot of money. So I think it's a...
But can't we say the same thing, though, with Star Wars? I mean,
no.
I think it's a safe bet to say it's already established, we'll gain money.
Purely,
the question is how much.
Well, I have to remove my heart and think with my head here for a minute, like an executive. But I think this is an interesting point that Christopher makes me think of, is that what Disney is doing is that they're financially thinking that the Star Wars Episode 7 will be as successful financially as Iron Man 3. Now, in my heart of hearts, I think a good Star Wars film would be exactly as or more successful as Iron Man 3. But from a purely box office standpoint, what a new Star Wars film can't rely on the nostalgia of the old films to bring out basically Disney. Here's one thing that Disney learned last summer. You can't rely on nostalgia to bring people to the box office, because look at what happened to The Lone Ranger. Is it one of the worst box office flops? They spend a huge budget on it. So they are basically, it's interesting that they're placing their bets on Star Wars in that way. It's great to see them have the confidence there, because you got to remember the production budgets on the prequels were like 125. So they're paying 50, 75 million more for the film.
I want to take an angle of that, though. I mean, you mentioned The Lone Ranger, and I would say, how many TV shows, we'll just stick with TV shows, not including radios and other things like that, but how many TV shows have you seen Star Wars references in versus how many of the same TV shows have you seen a Lone Ranger reference in?
I think
so it's rough with that one, because I think Star Wars is very much like Star Trek, even more so. There are things about Star Trek that, you hold up to live long and prosper, a damn it gem here or there. But for the most part, there's nothing that stands out like, I got a bad feeling about this, or it's a trap. I mean, those things, you say those, and even people who've never seen the films have an idea where it came from.
Yeah, you say, may the force be with you. Everyone knows what you're talking about. It's a good point. It's not a very good comparison, but I think basically if I were Disney, I would be trying to if Disney were being conservative with it, because I'm going to take a look at this, and here's I'm going to play this game one more moment. The first Iron Man, let's see, box office. I apologize again for the listeners for doing this live on air, but the Christopher made me think of it. So Iron Man 2.
Well, I'm curious too with Episode 1, because Episode 1 of all of them probably had more viewers, because that was before the people hated it had a chance to say I hate it. So they were Star Wars.
Here's the thing. So the budget for the first Iron Man film was $140 million, a very comparable to the Star Wars prequels. So they're actually giving the first new Star Wars film the same budget as the third Iron Man film. So they're basically hedging their bets that this will be successful. And I know that the people at Disney know way more than I do the numbers of you know, crunching the numbers of who they think will come to theaters to see the film. So I'm sure that they've done their – it's not just conjecture of, oh, Star Wars seems popular. We should probably put it this budget. No, they've thought very carefully about – and I'm sure they've done, like, extensive research and stuff into what the audience is, who they think will go watch it, how much of a budget, you know, it has a place for, those sorts of things. So I don't know. Great question, Christopher.
I can see it now, though. You know, you can hear these padded feet walking into the board of directors or whatever, the executive's room and stuff. And, all right, guys, we're going to do a Star Wars film. Now, don't mess it up. Oh, gosh, Mickey, do you think we could? Well, Goofy, you know, anything's possible.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I to me, it gets back to that, like, I think it's a smart bet. I think that the only thing moving forward is that we're going to do a movie every year. Because if you watch episodes 7, 8, and 9, you can kiss the rest of those movies goodbye. I mean, not that they won't make them, but you can kiss the dollar revenue that you're going to be wanting to get by. Because once you put out 7, 8, 9, and if that fundamentally blows across the winds and everybody is just like, oh, man, you probably should have never done any more Star Wars stuff, that will hurt down the road. And I think that's where the bet comes.
Like, yeah.
You really have to commit to this, because if you don't nail this out of the park, you're going to lose it all.
The movie has to be good. And I don't mean just like good in the subjective sense of Riley thinks it's good. The movie has to be critically and audience popular for the long-term investment. Because sure, I mean, it's going to make a lot of money anyway. But if Disney wants to make this a successful franchise, it has to be Iron Man. It has to be a really good film like Iron Man was. So that makes everybody say, well, man, if that Iron Man was pretty good, let's go check out this Thor movie, or let's go check out this Captain America guy. That sounds pretty interesting. I like superhero movies. So they basically have to say, get people saying, you know what, I like sci-fi fantasy. Let's go back to the theaters and spend a bunch of money. Because you know what the last sci-fi fantasy films that were extremely successful in the theater? Lord of the Rings. I mean, I'm trying to think of another good example of a sci-fi fantasy that would have made that kind of money, and I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I mean, the Star Trek movies have done pretty well.
No,
Harry Potter did pretty good.
Yeah,
didn't it?
I mean, if I go to I love this side of it because I love Star Wars fandom, but I also love like the general, populist side of fandom to see
take the last Harry Potter film. I want to know about that because that's a universe based off of books that went movie.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I'm curious as to how that one went because I know that.
Yeah, that was enormously successful. Oh, Mark, you still with us?
Yeah, it got bigger and bigger as they went.
No, there you are. There you are. Yeah, you're here. So basically, yeah, it was successful, but I want to point out the worldwide gross was only $467 million for Star Trek Into Darkness, less than half of what Iron Man 3 made. So it's commercially successful.
All right, Catching Fire. What about that one?
Catching Fire was really successful. I don't remember the numbers, but you're talking faster than I can Google. I can give you the Deathly Hallows.
Oh, and Mark, by the way, I sneezed.
Oh, yeah. Hallows. Okay, fair point. The Harry Potter would be a notable exception. Deathly Hallows did make as much or more than Iron Man 3. Sorry, Bethany, I interrupted you.
Oh. No, it's fine. Comedic timing lost.
Oh, sorry. I ruined it. Okay, I will get lost in box office mojo here. Again, great question from Christopher, and yeah, that's very interesting. We already touched on it, Mark. Jason Latronica from Facebook says, any word on Sword of the Jedi? I mean, it depends on your point of view.
The word on that, the last official word we have gotten was that it is on hold. They never actually said it's full on canceled. They just said it was on hold, and I believe they said indefinitely. So, I mean, yeah, that sounds like canceled to me. And yes, you know, people are going to say canceled, but
that's what people said about.
I truly think.
You know, that's what people said about the Clone Wars, though, that it was on hold indefinitely.
Yes,
and we at least
exactly.
Keep
that gets back to that aspect of, you know, if you want it, demand it. You know, I think that this book is the prime trigger to keep Legends living. You know, if they keep the MMO stuff coming out under the Legends banner, and if they did put out the Imperial Handbook also under the Legends banner, those are books that aren't really and things that aren't really continuing the story. But if they down the road, you know, and I've said this before, if they by the time they put out episode 9 and they're like, you know, now's a good time to finish that Sword of the Jedi series, you know, and then go back. Looking at it from an EU side of things, the Legends side of things that we've gotten in the past, they did that with Darth Plagueis. Darth Plagueis was put on hold. Darth Plagueis, we were told, was canceled. And then 4 or 5 years later, boom, Plagueis was revived, and they picked the same guy, and they finished the book, and it was, you know, it was awesome. So I could see them doing something like that. I mean, again, I get back to that whole, you know, if they're really after the money, this could sell, and, you know, make it, you know, your Legends universe, have it going. You'll establish that there is a new continuity. You'll call it Saga. You'll call it Star Wars. You'll call it D-Canon, whatever. But mm-hmm. you will make it clear that the Legends universe is not that. It is the continuation of the old story. And I think that would work. I really do. Me and Nathan, we actually were in total disagreement about it. I mean,
yeah,
Nathan doesn't see it ever happening. But
I'm more
there's enough people out there that can make that happen.
Well, and I'm more with Nathan than you, Mark. But I will say it this way: I think it's purely a financial thing. If there's enough of a market for, if there's enough people who are interested in it, they'll see it. There's a huge wellspring of support for Clone Wars, and that's what got us Netflix. Essentially, I bet like 90% of that decision was the letter campaign was all that. It's the same thing that kept Community on the air, and set, you know, same thing that kept other popular sci-fi shows on air. But yeah, good points. Last thing for the show is a post from Kenny Crowley Jr., a loyal Star Wars Report listener for many years. So hi, Kenny. It's good to hear from you. He posted on our Facebook two questions. Will we see complete scores on CD or iTunes of all six Star Wars films? Also, second question, will there be regular and deluxe editions for the soundtrack for Episode 7? The only reason I put those in, I appreciate the question. I have no way of answering it other than guessing, and that is, I don't think we would see I do think we would see a deluxe edition for the soundtrack, because they did that with the last two Hobbit films.
And I was actually thinking about this, too. Soundtracks are so popular these days that I do think that they would bother to make a really nice version and just a normal like $12 CD version. But
there's so many too that do the music and then some that do the scores.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, and it depends on, I don't know if there would exactly be much source music or any song numbers, any Lapty Necks, if you will, or Jedi Rocks, but you never know. It could be an interesting little thing. I don't know. There's so much. I mean, Episode 7, there's a lot of plot stuff.
I am soundtracks, really excited about the music, though.
I've said this on the show before, but I've always really wanted the complete soundtracks to episodes, well, episodes 1 through 6, because we have the complete soundtrack to episode 1. I saw it in a music store, sitting on the shelf, used. I'd heard about it with the cool bluish logo, but I'd never actually seen it, and I saw it there, and I was so excited. And that I was like 15 at the time, and I had no idea that I got it for like $12. I had no idea that on eBay those things go for like $40 or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, I got a quick question for you, though.
Sure thing.
The Clone Wars side of things, I believe it was Rookies episode, when they're on the Rishi base, they had like this radio program going on, like Clone Radio or whatever.
Yeah.
But we know, does that exist as an audio? Like, I that song, as soon as it played, I was like, I want that! Like, and I have never heard it be.
I don't know. I mean, I guess quite possibly. It exists in some form somewhere, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, I do wish that they had like full soundtracks of the Clone Wars, because some of the music is really, really good.
And again, if you go to Kevin Kiner's website, if you haven't. Do yourself a favor. Go to Kevin Kiner's website. He has a whole list of a bunch of Clone Wars music that he's done over the years and so much more. I mean, he's... Kevin Kiner, I've complained about the Clone Wars scores before, not having enough of John Williams' original themes, but when he hits it, he's brilliant. And, like, especially seeing the video of him doing the Rebels music, man, that has me so excited. But, well, guys... I'm going to be the party pooper. It's about that time. This episode of the Star Wars Report, episode 130, episode 130 is in the bag.
It's in the can.
It's in the can. That's a wrap.
It's the protocol droid on the Wookiee's back.
Exactly. guys, thanks for listening. Stick around for a few minutes. We've got some contact info and a couple special things that you need to know if you're listening to this here Star Wars Report podcast. So stick around. We'll be right with you. I don't do the whole thing like that. All right, guys, thanks for listening again. It's been me, Riley, it's been Bethany, it's been Mark, it's been fun, it's been a good time. Hey, Mark, happy birthday again. It's awesome to be with you. I appreciate you as part of the show, but also as a Star Wars fan and also as a friend. It's been an amazing 5-plus-year journey podcasting with you. So here's to the next 5, right?
That's right. I've been having a blast. You know, it's fun. Ever since we took the Boston Report and decided to rebrand it and come out with the Star Wars Report, I've been having so much fun. It's been one of the coolest things that I've been able to be, you know, a part of. It's definitely been a upside to my fandom. And I'm looking forward to the social interactions come celebration, man. I mean, I keep watching everybody having so much fun. I want to do it.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's gonna be a blast. Yeah. And speaking of a blast, we'll be at Star Wars Weekends this weekend. Hey, if you see us hanging around Disney down in Orlando, Disney's Hollywood Studios, swing by and say hello. If you see Betty, it's always a pleasure to meet fans. We've met a few of you guys at events here and there. But hey, if you see us, be sure to stop by and say hello. Don't be shy. We always love meeting Star Wars Report listeners and fellow Star Wars fans in general. It's always fun to do that. And
have them take an extra picture, you know, one with the empty arm there. This one's for Mark.
One for
Mark. I want to see him. I want an album, guys.
Yes, yes. We will be posting.
And happy birthday again, Mark.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Oh, and we'll be posting photos and probably pics, maybe some video, and hopefully recording a few things while we're down there. So stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter. It's Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter, but I'm sure me and Bethany will be posting stuff from our personal accounts here and there. So follow us. It's at the Riley Guys, my Twitter account. Bethany, yours is at.
I am at Bethany L. Blanton on Twitter. I had to think about it for a second.
No. Okay, and I've been seeing you tweet more, which is awesome. So that's all.
I'm still doing the mostly lurk around and look at other people's tweets thing, but.
Yeah, no, I understand. I would do that through large swaths of the semester when I'd have a lot of homework. I would just kind of retreat and not do anything Star Wars other than peek at Twitter when I could, read a few blogs when I could. Follow us up on Twitter. We'll be tweeting photos and all kinds of stuff. So we appreciate it. Hey, leave us a voicemail. It's 858-859-0SWR. We always appreciate that. And lastly, last but not least, well, I have two things for this last. Email us. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. But most importantly, hey, if you've enjoyed this show or enjoy our podcast, we do really appreciate any listeners for you guys who leave us iTunes reviews. We've had a couple ones recently and a couple ones in the past. And actually, honestly, if you go back in the iTunes reviews, I listen to you guys. It doesn't have to all be positive stuff. Some of you guys have had legitimate good criticisms and ways to improve the show. So it's actually, I prefer you guys to leave it in a public forum like that because it lets other folks know you're listening, but especially the positive reviews. Those always help too. So go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes and leave us your iTunes review. That's going to do it. That puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
See y'all later.
Are we in trouble? Are the Sparty cylinders down that they're no longer canon?
I got a little lost there in the song. I was kind of getting into it there. ladies and gentlemen, that was a solid hour of gold. That was a great show, if I do say so myself. I think we were on it.
Yes, yeah.
We were on point, and we had stuff to say.
I think it was because it was Mark's birthday. We're all just excited.
Yes.
No.
This was our finest hour. Many Bothans died to see that we had a full 60 minutes.
Many Bothans died while we patted our backs.
Yes.